The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome on in. We're in Las Vegas. We're here at the Pac-12 tournament. Later today, I'll be over at Arizona against Stanford. And then tonight, Grand Canyon's in action in the WAC tournament about 2 miles from here against to be determined. And that's over at the Orleans. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We, as always, appreciate their ongoing support. Vegas so far. So yesterday, by the way, Brock Purdy today. Brock taped this with him earlier this week after getting done with the combine in Indianapolis. I think it's really interesting. We're doing a deep dive on what goes on behind the scenes because you hear stuff, but here's a hometown hero made good, one of the quarterbacks. What did he have to go through this last week? And we'll have all that with Brock Purdy coming up here shortly. ASU yesterday. So I've seen a lot through the years. If you take this in, you know that what has been going on at Always Something University here the last 5 months, 6 months, it's Always Something. And yesterday I'm at the T-Mobile Arena and they're up 17 and I'm starting to write some stuff and formulate, okay, this is going to be cool. It's going to be Arizona. It's going to be Arizona State. It'll be Thursday. Fans will be really geeked about it and it'll be fun. No. Like I saw the worst of the worst. And if you want to fire the coach, I think you're mistaken on this. And you're probably thinking, well, Brad, you're banging on them for the way they lost the game. Yeah. A college coach can only go so far. And if you look at Bobby's total body of work this season, if all you do is look at wins and losses, you don't realize how many injuries he went through and the starts and stops with COVID that this team went through and how he did have them peaking at the right time and how they were up 17 at the 12-minute mark, 17. And yet they crapped the bed and they just, I've never seen a team that that could miss so many front ends of one-on-ones at the free throw line, not dive for loose balls, an alley-oop pass late in the game. That's not how Naismith invented it. I'm not old school. I'm basketball. I think I'm pretty basketball smart on this, on what is supposed to happen when you're closing out a game. And you could just see this tidal wave coming of, they're going to blow this. They're going to choke on this. And they did. And one of the there's many reasons why I like Bobby Hurley is I have very low tolerance in this day and age for people who sugarcoat and want to hide from the truth. And they just want to, you can't handle the truth. You know, they just want it to be so PR friendly. And no, that was a complete gag yesterday. That's it. And so their misery of a season comes to an end. Move ahead to U of A. Tommy Lloyd today, Pac-12 tournament. They're meeting Stanford. We'll be there. There's really no reason up until U of A ends up playing UCLA that this team should not be winning this. There's some fans I've talked to up here that are of the opinion it'd be better for them to lose so they could rest up for March Madness. That's asinine. I mean, that really is not – yeah, you don't want to play your best basketball going into the tournament. So that doesn't make sense. So, you know, Stanford's long. Stanford's feeling pretty good about themselves. Their coach is under siege. The coach is about to get fired. Then they win yesterday. The team believes in the coach. It's pretty clear. Jared Haas, they played U of A tough in Tucson just last week. And so, I mean, it should be U of A by 30. It really should be. But I'm really, really interested to see how they perform. We're brought to you by DraftKings. Guys, with March Madness going on, and here in Vegas, if you've not logged on to DraftKings yet to sign up for your own account, and you just got to put $5 in and make a bet. That's it. Use promo code SPORTS1000, SPORTS1000, and DraftKings. They're a partner of us. You can go right to our homepage and you'll see DraftKings and have some fun around March Madness. Gamble responsibly, of course. That is DraftKings. Tonight we'll be over at the Orleans for Grand Canyon University. And I've had some people that have asked, do you think that this is a team that can go deep in the WAC tournament? I certainly hope so for Coach Drew. They've done a nice job this season, but they are still trying to figure it out as well. I don't think they've been a team that has played consistent as I've been watching them and looking forward to seeing them tonight. We'll do the doubleheader today over at T-Mobile in the afternoon and tonight over at the Orleans. lot of buzz up here about the NFL, of course. And here's where I'll tie baseball into this. You know, today's the 10th of March. Today we should be talking about, you know, what's going on with that battle for the closer? What's going on at second base? There's nobody talking baseball, like nobody. And the NFL has just said, we're going to swoop in and we're going to steal March. And we're going to let the sports calendar rest for the week after the Super Bowl, maybe 2 weeks. Everybody catch their breath. Then we're going to put the combine on, and then we're going to start having free agent movement. And Aaron Rodgers' contract will get leaked out, and Russell Wilson's deal will get leaked out, and Carson Wentz's deal will get leaked out, and people start connecting dots with free agency. And all of a sudden, I was reading where baseball, the average age of the baseball fan is 57 now. 57. You're not going to succeed. Your business model will not work. Most of you taking this in are not 57. You're younger. And so I don't believe it's healthy to sit here and go back and forth. And Derek Hall yesterday, from my understanding, down in the Valley, decided to address this. I thought there was a gag order. Evidently not. I don't think fans want to hear from Derek except for, what are we doing to improve the product on the field? Can I even name five Diamondback players that have a shot to be here longer than the next 3-4 years? There is not that out there, except for the diehard, and that's like this many people. So, you know, it's really frustrating because I like baseball a lot, but the sport has just died on the vine. And the people running it they're tone deaf because I can sit here and do a show just on the NFL every single day. And I won't, thank goodness. But it's just frustrating, disappointing. I did watch the Suns last night. And that was for where they are at this point of the season, without Chris Paul and Booker coming back and Miami being one of the better teams in the NBA, it was impressive. You know, you absolutely took them apart. And so now they come home and they take on Toronto tomorrow night. And Devin Booker did come back. They've clinched a playoff spot. They have 53 wins. It's just get yourself healthy. Stay out of harm's way. You already had something hit you with Chris Paul. Stay out of harm's way here until we get to the playoffs next month. It's right around the corner. All right. Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is coming up next. Brock and I will chop it up on his run at the combine. And what are the next steps for a quarterback? So if you're wondering how this all works, so they go to the combine, then what? What do they need to improve on? And then what? And then what? And what's draft night going to look like? And what did he take away? What was the strangest question he got asked at the combine? We'll get into all that with Brock Purdy on the other side. From Las Vegas, I'm Brad Sussmat. So this past week, I did something really cool. I talked about it a bit. I saw Whitney Purdy have a vertical jump much greater than her brother Brock, who joins us. This was after Brock ran his second 40 at the combine in Indianapolis. The Purdy's were nice enough to say, when I did ask, can I come over and just see how you guys handle your job interview for your son? Because he's going to be on full display. And they're like, sure, come on over. And they were pumping their fists, and dad's mowing the grass, which is a sign of him being nervous. And then he comes in, and now I've got Brock here with me to just kind of break down the combine and what's next on your journey. Did you know all this chaos was going on back home, by the way?
I did not. Every time I checked in with them, they were acting like everything was good and calm. Oh. So it was it wasn't bad. Yeah.
They put on a good look. They put on a good face.
Yeah,
your sister's vertical. I think she's got you beat. Like the second time she's pumping her
most
fist.
Most definitely. Yeah, I saw the video of her jumping up, and that's Whitney in a nutshell. She's, you know, the biggest supporter of her brothers, and honestly, I expected that from her. So
there you go. All right, so help the fan understand, because they hear bits and pieces about the combine, but now that you've been through it, was it everything that you'd heard about through the years?
Yeah, most definitely. Obviously, the thing I didn't know was just the week leading up to the performance on the field. All the interviews with coaches, the medical testing. So there's a lot of that, you know, the first 3 days. And it's really, you know, every NFL team wants to understand and know what they're getting in a player in terms of their history with injuries and how smart you are, all that kind of stuff. But then getting on the field, just doing all the tests that you saw on TV growing up, you know, with all the college players going to the NFL, like going out there it gave me some goosebumps. I was like, man, I'm about to do this. You know, I grow up watching all these guys, you know, vertical jumping and running the 40 and then throwing. So everything that I saw growing up, I was doing. So it was pretty special. It was neat for sure.
When you were about to run your first 40, I'm sitting right next to your dad and JP Patchett, who's a close family friend. And your dad turns to me and just says, I can't believe that I'm sitting here watching my son about to go through this. And he didn't look like he's going to puke on his shoes, but he did have this look on his face of like, this is the coolest thing ever. Did you have that feeling back there? You said goosebumps, but did you have a feeling when you first walked into the RCA dome, like, okay, I belong here and this is the deal? Or did you have to work to get to that point?
Yeah, I think when I first walked in and just saw, you know, the stadium, everything set up, I was like, man, like, this is crazy that I'm here. But at the same time, as I'm warming up and throwing, I'm like, you know, I belong here. That's for sure. And, you know, I had that kind of confidence with me. I think the coolest thing, I mean, you know, the 40 yard dash is obviously one of the biggest events. And so when we had a coach explaining, you know, hey, this is what we're looking for. These are the rules, you know, you can't jump too early. You can't lean into it. You know, and we're standing on the start line as he's explaining it. And so when he was explaining that, I was like looking around, I'm like, man, here's all the cameras lined up, you know, here's all the coaches, right along, and here's the lane, you know, the 40 yard dash lane. And it's like, man, this is a reality. It's pretty cool. So at that moment I was like, you know what, you know, again, I'm here for a reason and let's go do it. Like we're here. And so, that's really just what was going through my mind mentally. I'm sure at the moment things were going faster than they were, but I'm very blessed to have been in that position, you know, to go and compete. And, here we are. So it's exciting. See,
you improved on your 40 time from the end of the season at Iowa State, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and where were you at the end of the season to what you did run at the combine last week?
Yeah. At the end of the season, when we tested right after we played Clemson in the bowl game, and I actually tested a 4.97 in my 40, you know, just based off of all the hits and, you know, come out of the season a little banged up and sore. But then after, you know, some training and stuff, I got it all the way down to an official 4.84 at the combine. So I was pleased with that for sure. I know that I can do even better. That's just the competitive side of me and everything. To be able to jump down to a 4.84, just, you know, shows my athleticism, shows that I got something, you know, to move around in the pocket and make some plays outside of the pocket. But I think it was good progress for sure from the end of the season until now.
I mean, people may be like, well, 4.9 to a 4.8, what's the big deal? That is a big deal. That's a big jump. And then you still have your pro day to go through and you're going to run again, I would think, right?
I'm not going to do the 40, but I will test again in the three cone and the 5.10.5, and then obviously throw. So, yep.
The rest of the combine, you know, we hear about Wunderlich tests. We hear what's the strangest question you're asked and all that stuff as the buildup. I've heard that for 30 years. So I'll just ask you, what was it that struck you about the interviews that you went through? And if there was something that was kind of like, I hadn't thought of that before, and they asked me.
Yeah, I mean, just some personality questions that they ask are pretty interesting. The one that I actually like, and I'll probably ask people just moving forward, is like, if you could choose between being a commercial pilot or a fighter pilot, you know, what would you be? And so obviously I think the right answer for a quarterback is you want to hear a guy say he's a fighter pilot.
Yep.
I think that was pretty sweet. But other than that, it was just, you know, being taught offensive plays in the NFL and then, you know, going through your playbook. And then at the end of the interview, they're like, okay, now teach me what I taught you in the beginning, you know, with detail and everything. So that was cool. I thought that was one of my strengths, is being able to go in there, show off, you know, my football IQ and stuff. But other than that, just being authentic and being real, not trying to be someone else. At the end of the day, I am who I am, and whoever believes in me is, you know, who I'm going to roll with. So that's really what I took away from the interviews. It was cool, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to go through the commercial pilot and fighter pilot. You lost me there for a second. In a fun sort of way, it's like, I would be with you. I want to be a fighter pilot. I'm a quarterback. I'm going to walk out there. I'm the baddest guy on the field. I'm going to take care of business. A commercial pilot, I got to take care of 300 lives or 200 lives or however many lives. So I'm playing around with that one in my mind. That's a good one. I haven't heard that before. Yeah. So now, to give fans again an idea, was it 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour? Which teams held you longer? That sort of thing.
Yeah, so you'd have your group of guys and you would go into like a big ballroom essentially, and you know, there'd be like this middle meeting part in the middle where just the players would be, and then once the timer started, all the coaches on the outside had their tables and they would come and grab you in the middle, and then you'd go and sit down with their team. And then they would interview you around 15 minutes. Obviously, like there's a bunch of coaches that wish they could have gotten, you know, some more time, but there's so many teams that, you know, you have to sit down and talk to, and that they want to talk to you and get to know you. So there's only a 15 minute cap to that. And then you have, every team has like a runner that you call it, where they're waiting for you to be done with your interview to get you next. And so it's a lot. It's very busy. It's, you know, for a good 2.5-3 hours, you're constantly talking about your playbook, how you think as a player, being able to teach things like plays and stuff back to the coaches. So it's a lot, but at the end of the day, I'm thankful, you know, that I was able to go through that. Not a lot of people can say that they did, you know?
Yeah, sure. It's organized chaos, but in a good way. Okay. So can you recite the order of teams in that ballroom, that runner, like who was the first team you started with, and can you run through it, or were there just so many teams?
I started with the Patriots, but man, the list after that, I have it all on my phone, but I can't remember exactly all the teams. It was so many. And then that was two nights of that. So it was a lot. Yeah. If I look back on it, I'd be able to tell
That's
you.
All right. But, no cheating.
Yes, sir.
No cheating. So when a team like the Patriots asks you, in your mind, this is cool, or wait a minute, they just took a quarterback last year. Did that pop in at all?
Yeah, I mean, even the teams, you know, that have like a solidified quarterback, right? And that it's obvious, like, man, this is their guy that they want to build around.
Yeah.
For me, you never know, you know?
Right, right.
I've always, you know, like I said before, I've been myself to every single coach that I've talked to, scout, whoever it may be. At the end of the day, you just never know. You know, they might want to take a guy, bring him in, and be a supporting role to that back or to the starting quarterback. Be a guy that, you know, brings the quarterback room together. And then you get your opportunity down the road. You just never know. So for me, I've always been 100% with every single coach, no matter, you know, who's their starting quarterback or what the situation may be. At the end of the day, you just never know. So
were you in awe of anybody? Doesn't matter what position, but it's like, I saw this dude and I finally got to meet this dude. And I know you're there on a job interview, but you know, when you see a defensive lineman run a 40, or you just see a player and you're like, I've always liked that guy. Did you have that moment?
Are you talking about with current players?
Yeah. Any players that were in the combine with you, guys that were there, they're in the job interview just like you, Brock. And you may, as a fan of sport, a fan of college football, said, I've always liked that guy. I just want to know what he's all about and tell him, hey, man, I like what you're all about. Did you have that moment? Because I've heard the camaraderie. You would think that job interview, everybody's kind of standoffish and they're all in their own little island. That may not be the case, or may not have been the case.
Just throughout the week, obviously, like, I was with all the quarterbacks for the most part. And so I think, you know, just speaking about quarterbacks, man, Malik Willis was one of the most down to earth kind of guys I've ever met. Really just, he actually cared about you. It was genuine. It wasn't, you know, hey, I'm just trying to play the role. Malik Willis is a great human being. And I love talking to him. And then Kenny Pickett, I was around him a lot. And you know, just the way he carries himself, he's very confident in everything that he does, but at the same time, he's just like another guy who just, you know, wants to be friendly and talk to you and ask about everything in your life. So I know those are two big names right now at the quarterback position. But, you know, as a college football fan, to know that those guys are real, they're authentic and genuine is pretty sweet. So those are the two guys that came to mind when you asked that. So
yeah, you didn't ask Kenny about his hand size, right? I mean, I think that that just went into the ground and over the top and all that stuff. But that's part of Combine Week. Your teammates at Iowa State. So Breece came out of there with a lot of buzz and a lot of hype. Your Iowa State teammates and how you felt they did, how they performed and seeing them on that stage.
Yeah. I think starting off like with the tight ends, like Charlie and Chase, our two tight ends, right when I got out to the field, they were already doing their workout. And I was just like, you know, trying to warm up, but also looking up on the big screen, watching them. And man, they were killing it. Just didn't drop anything. Just looked smooth. So they had a great combine. And then obviously Breece being able to see him do his thing and show people really how explosive he is. Cause on the field, I've talked to a lot of people where they say, man, is Breece running hard? And I'm like, yeah, he just makes it look so effortless. You know, that's how you know someone has got something that's different. And, you know, I was this whole time I've been so excited for, you know, Breece to be able to go out and show everybody, you know, like actually how fast he is, you know, his explosiveness, got like 40 inch vert. So he's special. He's a, you know, very talented human being, in a lot of different ways, but obviously as a football player and a running back, man, I'm excited to see what he does. He's going to have an amazing career. If you ask me, I've been with him for 3 years and I can honestly tell you that. So I'm excited for him.
Brock Purdy with us for a few minutes. We'll let him go with a couple more questions. He's just coming off the combine. So to get through the spots and dots or just the details of it, your next step will be pro day at Iowa State, right?
Yes, sir.
And when will that be, Brock?
March 22nd.
So March 22nd, between now and March 22nd, you're going to be in Iowa, staying there and training and working, or are you going to go back to Florida?
I will be back here. I'm here in Ames, Iowa, training with my teammates and stuff, just trying to get, you know, timing and everything down for the pro day. And then after the pro day, I'll be here for a couple more weeks, just in case teams want to come in and do any kind of more personal workouts or interviews. And then I'll go home to Arizona in April, sometime in April, for the draft. And then from there, you got rookie minicamp. So
draft day, draft weekend, you'll be at your parents' house taking it in.
Yep.
My understanding is there's going to be a golf club that shows up for you, by the way, just a little side note. And that came from JP Patchett. But did you get a feel about a team that really likes you? That's a commonly asked question around combines. Were there some teams you walked out? They're like, well, that was a little different.
Yeah. I've got a feel for a couple of them. I'm not going to share any, but no. I will say that, yeah, there's a couple. But at the same time, you know, it's not like college football with recruiting or anything where, you know, you feel some teams interested, you have options, and then you choose. You know, now it's like the other way around. You know, you're a name on a list, and if it's, you know, the right time and the right situation, your name will get called. And so that's it's not, you know, in my authority or anything like that to, you know, make the call on what team I want to go to. But I do have an idea of, you know, who's interested after interviews and stuff. But we'll see.
Did you ace it? Or did you walk out of some of these saying,
I like to think that I did, that I aced it. But it's hard to tell exactly what they're looking for, you know. But like I said before, I was, you know, myself and on all the interviews, wasn't trying to be somebody else or anything like that. Right. I gave it my all, showed my football IQ, and we'll see what happens from here. So,
all right. I've chopped you up enough, or you've chopped it up enough with me, so I'm going to let you off that. It's good to follow your journey. I appreciate you letting me have the time with you and just kind of drill down on this, because a lot of people here in Arizona and Iowa State fans that have seen us through the years are interested to hear how your journey is going. So stick with it, and I'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Brad.
There's Brock Purdy, and we're back with more after this time out.